That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday afternoon. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the great privileges of this job is to talk to people that do the hard and good work that serves our communities every day on this program. We've got one of those great guests this afternoon. Very, very privileged and excited to speak with Jackie Anderson. She's the executive director for Feeding Wisconsin. Thanks so much for being here, Jackie. I know that it has been a trying few weeks for everyone that cares about everybody. I guess that's the way to put it. So I really appreciate you taking some time. You've worked in nonprofits for more than 25 years. You spent two decades with the US's YMCA. I grew up going to the Y. Thank you for that. I spent a lot of afternoons and summer days at the Y. So thank you for all that work. You're also the former director of Raising Wisconsin. You led advocacy efforts focused on investments in childcare and early childhood development and education. So thank you for that work as well. And now let's talk about food security in the state of Wisconsin. The basics. What is Feeding Wisconsin and what do you all do?
Yeah, so Feeding Wisconsin is what's called the Partner State Association for Wisconsin, which basically means we provide advocacy support, advocacy and policy support to the six Feeding America food banks that are throughout the state. So that means they we're the ones out fighting for policies on the federal and on the local level. They certainly have their point in advocacy, but we really are the lead, kind of the conductor, if you will, making sure that everybody knows what to say to their representatives or their legislators, and you know, all the good things that comes with advocacy work.
In Wisconsin, we have a lot, tens of thousands of people who are food insecure. Help put some meat on the bones there. How many folks are we talking about? How dispersed across the state are they? Is this just a Milwaukee problem?
Yeah, no, it is absolutely not a Milwaukee problem. So if you're looking at the numbers, and the numbers that I'm rattle off are based on Feeding America's commissioned Map the Meal Gap. So they actually look at census numbers and come up with where we are as a state. And right now, there's about a 12% increase in food insecurity throughout the state, which means if we're going to actually look at like the numbers, so there's about 700,000 that are considered food insecure. That means it's about 1 in 8 adults. For kids, we're looking at about 1 in 6. So you know, that's the number of people who are food insecure. Again, it's if you don't know where your next meal is coming from. I also want to clarify that it is predominantly people who are working who are also considered food insecure. So I'm trying to break the stereotype that people who are using SNAP or what we call food share in our state are not people who are taking advantage of the system, but they're people who are working and cannot make ends meet because of inflation and a lot of other different things that are happening in our world right now.
It's pretty incredible to me that so many misconceptions about the people that find themselves in need have become so sort of like dogmatically pervasive in our political discourse. And that is simply not the case. I have had friends of mine growing up in Milwaukee that I went to school with that told me about some of their food insecurity. I have a number of friends that work in public schools and they are going out of their own pocket to bring food into their classrooms to ensure that the kids there and some of them hungry almost every day.
Yeah.
Why is it that we can't get behind, you know, universal school lunches for every kid and breakfast? Like,
why?
What do you think? Yeah, I've never understood this. Like, of course we should just feed all the kids in our schools. That seems like such a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's how our legislature wants to spend money. You know, I think we're actually making some progress in helping our legislators understand the importance of healthy school meals for all. And I think it's especially over the summer, right? I mean, we're looking at about 400,000 kids who we know have healthy meals during the school year. And then once summer hits, like, their families are scrambling. So I think it's educating our legislators and our business leaders and our community members on the importance of, if kids don't have healthy food, they can't learn. And those are our future employers of those businesses and future folks who are going to be contributing to our community. So, and that's not the only reason, of course, that we want them to be healthy and whole and feel like good about themselves. But, you know, it's an investment. And, you know, my life has been revolved around youth development for many, many years. Yes. So that's something I'm very passionate about. And you have to have healthy food if you're going to be thriving.
When we look at what the big brutal bill is going to do in Wisconsin, who is this going to impact? Address some of those, what I'm going to call pernicious stereotypes about who's food insecure. I know you did in part, but especially when we look at the devastation of the brutal bill here in Wisconsin, what does it look like? What are you most concerned about?
Yeah, so, you know, my world is focused on food security. So that's SNAP, or food share is what we call it here in Wisconsin. And I think a couple things are going to happen. Work eligibility, we know, is going to be changing. So that means people who have to prove that they're working a certain number of hours, that age is going to increase. So it's now going to go up to 64, 65-ish. And I say that because I know a lot of people who are at that age and they're not thinking about working. They're thinking about not working at that point. So that is one piece. People who have school-age children, that's going to be another work eligibility requirement. So people are going to be required to work a lot longer and in different ways. That is a big change. We also know that our state is going to be impacted. And when I say that, there's something that's going to be called the cost share, which means that up to this point, SNAP has always been covered 100% by the federal government. Now, states are going to have to contribute a percentage of their state budget. And unfortunately, what's going to happen, I don't think this will happen in Wisconsin, but in other states, they're opting out of SNAP. They're opting out of it, saying, like, we can't afford $200 million to be able to contribute that. So to me, that's what keeps me up at night, is like to think about those millions of people who no longer are going to have those SNAP benefits. So in Wisconsin, though, you know, back to your question, we know that cost share is going to impact us. We're very lucky in that the cost sharing is based on something called the error rate. Wisconsin has one of the lowest error rates in all of the nations because we've got really good systems in place. So we're very grateful for that, but it's still going to be an impact that we're going to have to factor in to the state budget.
Folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Jackie Anderson, the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, with us this half hour. I want to ask you about a headline that popped yesterday, Jackie, because it made my stomach turn. And I don't mean that as a sort of poor pun. Donald Trump is destroying 500 tons of emergency food. Given what you've done for the entirety of your working career, what was your reaction to that?
I think I'll believe it when I actually see it. Like, I think it's, we know that our government will not, in some way, shape, or form, and I'm saying this based on what we saw through COVID, our government will, in some way, shape, or form, make sure that our states have food. And I think it's how they go about that, I think, is going to be a little tricky and a little sticky. And we're already seeing that in some of the cuts that we've already seen. And I think, you know, what's down the pipeline is going to be a little tricky, but we will get what we need in some way, shape, or form. Will it be less? Yes, absolutely. But I think we will still get something.
What makes you so confident?
Because I've seen it with COVID. I mean, I think, and in Wisconsin in particular, you know, we've got elections coming up, and elections are really important. And it's not good to legislators to say your constituents are hungry. And I think there is that education, and that's what we're really, we spend a lot of our time on educating legislators around the food insecurity that is in their districts. And so I think I have to think that, right? Like I can't, if I think negatively, I'll never get to
your
work.
Optimism. I may not share it. I hate to say that. I don't know that I would draw the parallel from COVID to today. I think the politics have become so much more dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And we've seen elected official after elected official take votes that they know will harm their constituents, lie about those votes, and then defend them because they're simply afraid of getting primaried by the MAGA regime. And what I'm going to call and embrace a full bear hug of cruelty. We're going to continue our discussion with Jackie, but I wanted to ask you this. Describe some of the demographic breakdown of your clients. We've got about a minute left at Feeding Wisconsin. Who are these folks? If people are listening to this show, is it someone they might know or love that is struggling with food insecurity?
Oh yeah, it's everybody. I mean, if we're looking in the rural communities, it's 85% of rural communities have, 85% of those populations are considered food insecure. If you're looking at Black and Brown families, they're even more food insecure than you know, white communities throughout the state. It is people who are working. It is people with families. It is seniors. It's everybody. I mean, there's no neat little perfect way to describe a person who's food insecure. It can happen to any of us at any time.
85% of rural communities are food insecure. So I'm looking at you, GOP congressman that just voted for the big brutal bill, and I'm looking at you, Robin Voss, and the GOP leaders in state government. We need to do something about this, and we need to do something about it now to be sure that we are feeding our families. One in six kids in Wisconsin, food insecure. Calvin, how much time we got left here? We just have about a minute left. Jackie, is there one particular statistic that jumps out in your mind that would surprise most listeners who have tuned in this afternoon about food insecurity in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's what I started out with. There are 700,000 people in our state who are considered food insecure. And I think that that is a stat that we should not be proud of. And in Milwaukee, we know that that's even higher. But I think it's, like I said earlier, it is everybody in your community. Every single district has food insecure people within their district. So
you know someone that's struggling with it. When we come back on the other side, when I ask Jackie, what do we do about it? What are the things that we need to be calling our legislators and making sure that we know so that people do not go hungry in Wisconsin? Stay tuned. We come back with Jackie Anderson, the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.